time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard.
Mitch on vacation, Pauly Howard, Matt Eumanns, Jimmy Smith coming up to preview UFC 251. Also, Matt Holt later in the show, win, lose, and in pocket. Golf update, Morikawa now 8-under. Two-shot lead over Hadwin, who goes in about 3.5 hours. Bradley, Poulter, Neiman, Wise, Putnam, and Sloan, all 5-under and currently on the course. Bradley's 2-under for the day, and so is Neiman. So a little shot in the arm there if you followed Indy Jeff's selection with Neiman, who's now tied for third, 3 shots back with a slew of guys at 5-under.
50-to-1 shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
McDowell's 4-under, Champs 4-under, and Phil is still 1-under with Fowler, and Cantlay's 2-under. Some guys who are on the course now.
It's always a roller coaster ride with Phil.
Yep. Projected cut, we're looking at even. Tiger Woods, with the announcement yesterday, will be back on the Memorial next week. He turns 45 in December, late December. This will be his first event since February 16th. He's played 3 times this year. And the prop that they put up at the Westgate, how many career majors will Tiger win by December 30th, 2025? Over 15.5 is plus 125. 16.5 is plus 250. 17.5 is 5-to-1. And 18.5 to break the record is 10-to-1.
No, that's not going to happen.
I agree.
I think he wins either 0 or 1 majors the rest of the way.
I feel the same way, and it cost me Guinness for life with Jeff Sherman, and he'll get another delivery next weekend.
Well, he got the Masters win last year, which was number 15, and I think there's a decent chance. Well, I've seen enough positive signs from Tiger Woods' game to say that I think he can get to 16. I think he can win one more major somewhere along the way.
Yeah, that'd be best case.
I don't think he's going to win more than one.
At that age. Jeff Sherman's a big Tiger fan. He has ruled him out at every major the rest of the way now except Masters. He just says because of the body and the schedule.
I think the British Open, he's still got a shot. He's still got the Masters and the British Open. I think those are the two. But there's so many great players out there now. It's just,
the stars had to align from the God, so many, Koepka, all those guys vomited on themselves.
8 guys that could have won that Masters on the back nine, and Tiger, the brakes went his way.
Was it a Molinari and also Koepka both put it in the drink, too, on the back nine? That was, that was tough to take. But it's good that he's back, and we'll see. I know it'll be great for ratings, but we'll see if we'll get a big uptick maybe in the handle as well.
Well, I think
the handle's been terrific with these golf events.
Yeah, the golf handle's been outstanding. Johnny Avello at DraftKings said the golf handle's been off the hook. The Memorial Tournament next week in Dublin, Ohio, that's Jack Nicklaus's course. Mm-hmm. I've said it a couple times, Paul. It's going to feel like a major next week with Tiger back. Every big-name player is going to be in the field. Again, it's Jack Nicklaus's course. It's could be set up a little bit tougher than what we've seen here since the PGA Tour restarted. And I think that's going to be a great betting event next week, the Memorial Tournament with Tiger in the field.
Yes, and Morikawa just missed a birdie putt, so he'll stay at 8-under with a 2-shot lead.
What odds would you put on Tiger next week?
Welcome in Follow the Money, VEASAN.
15-to-1, 20-to-1?
Yeah, I'd say that's about right.
Okay.
Don't you? Yeah.
Yeah.
20-to-1 about. That sounds about right. That he hasn't played since February 16th.
Right.
Although he did look good last time we saw him out with Phil and Tiger. He was ripping it off the tee in the rain.
He's got a great track record on this Nicklaus course, too, and that's going to be talked about a lot next week.
Jimmy Smith joins us now to talk UFC 251, ESPN analyst. Follow him on Twitter, Jimmy Smith MMA. Good to talk to you again, friend. A lot working against Masvidal here. See if you agree. No coach. He gets the payday. Maybe that could be a distraction, taking the fight on 6 days' notice. Do you think Masvidal's up for the challenge here, taking on a guy who's only lost once in his career?
The difficulty is that all the X's and O's favor Kamaru Usman. That's the hard part. And I'm fascinating stuff. I love it. watch for emotional picks. I mean, that's really what I do. You know, I look at the X's and O's. I don't really care about, you know, oh, I'm really excited. This guy, boy, fans really like this guy. Fight fans tend to get emotionally caught up in who they're betting on. And the problem is that Jorge Masvidal is the emotional pick. Mm-hmm. Fans are really excited about Jorge Masvidal. They like him personally. They love his style. They're excited about him. But underneath all that is, look, you got to get a 6 days notice. His advantage is he's a great medium range striker. Where so is Gilbert Burns, the guy Kamaru Usman was getting ready for anyway. Usman is the better wrestler. He had a full camp. He tends to win by decision. He tends to win long, difficult, grueling fights, the kind of fights that don't allow a guy like Jorge Masvidal to get his boxing going. But fans are just so far behind Jorge Masvidal, it really skews the odds.
All right, so what would the true odds be, Jimmy, in this matchup? We saw Usman open minus $3. And right now he's as low as minus 210 here at the South Point, mostly minus 220, minus 230. Well, if you're an odds maker, where do you set this number?
Minus 400?
Really?
I mean, late camp. Wow. I mean, wow. And Usman, look at Usman's. We have a real recency bias. That's a big problem. I know you guys as bettors look at that, but that's something that's huge in combat sports. Look, in his last four fights, they've all been 25-minute fights. Kamar Usman, that's 100 total minutes of fighting. He's fought 99 minutes and 10 seconds. He's not usually a finisher, but because he knocked out Colby Covington, people assume he's going to get in a brawl with Jorge Masvidal. And he generally doesn't do that. And then if you look at Jorge Masvidal, yeah, he's had a great run. He was my pick for Fighter of the Year in 2019. But before that, most of his career at 155 pounds, and he's a win some, lose some kind of guy. He's on the best streak of his career based on the Darren Till knockout, the Ben Askren flying knee, and then he beat Nate Diaz, who's a natural 155 pounder. So, yeah, people think about the streak he's been on, but I think over the length of his career, Kamaru Usman just a more consistent fighter.
We just had John Anik on. He said the fighters were dismissive when asked, but as an expert, what do you think of the time difference and that the prelims will start at 2 a.m. and the main card at 6 a.m.?
You know what? Not a lot of people are talking about. I mean, not just the travel, but the COVID. They were all isolated for a certain amount of time. Mike Brown, who is Jorge Masvidal's coach, can't be there.
Yep.
That's a big issue. You also have, look, it was 96 degrees at 4 a.m. yesterday in Abu Dhabi. Okay. So they had originally this set up outside. It was 108 degrees at noon last week. So they have this thing. They originally had it set up outside. I've seen tweets that see it's in some kind of tent that is air conditioned. That shouldn't be a problem, but you just don't know. I mean, it could be incredibly hot in there. The weather is a factor. Not a lot of people are talking about that. Really affects when you've had a short camp. So fighters still alive. Everything's great. It's a great camp. Best I've ever felt. Oh my God. Of course. That's what you're going to hear every single time. Never believe that. Never believe what a fighter says. You know, just believe the numbers, believe the X's and O's.
Okay. How about the Jan against Aldo? And Jan 14-1 in his career. Aldo's lost four of his last six, 28-6 record. And Jan pretty much like Volkanovski, about the same price, about 230 in that range.
I think for you, well, I do believe Peter Yan wins. He probably wins by decision. I think the odds should favor Peter Yan a bit more for everything you just said. Look, Jose Aldo's maybe 80% of the fighter he was, and he's still dangerous. I think it's a credit to Jose Aldo that at 80%, he's still damn good. Close fight against Marlon Moraes. He lost on paper. I thought he won that fight. It was very, very close. The problem here is, once again, everybody's remembering Peter Yan blowing out Uriah Faber. Uriah Faber was 41 years old. He was supposed to blow out Uriah Faber against Dodson. Jimmy Rivera tends once again to win long fights rather than get in brawls early. So the kind of fight that Jose Aldo would maybe land that flying, he's not quite as explosive as he used to be, but the kind of exchanges that favor Jose Aldo, I think are going to be very, very rare. Peter Yan's going to put a lot of physical pressure on him. He's going to make the octagon very, very small and force Jose Aldo to throw combinations a lot. And the problem is, late in his career, Jose Aldo has had a problem keeping the pressure on. If you look at the Marlon Moraes fight, he looked great for a round and a half, and then he would kind of taper off in the last half of the round. We have these great explosions, and then you need to rest. It's one of those things where you guys have seen the careers of a lot of great quarterbacks late in their career, right? I remember, I don't know how many, but, you know, Dan Marino, even late in his career, you saw those Dan Marino games. You saw those Dan Marino quarters. You saw those times when he could still launch the ball, but they were less and less frequent. That's where you're from Jose Aldo. We still see flashes of that greatness. This is a 25-minute fight. Yes, pressure for a loss. I don't see him being able to do that. I would go Jan by decision.
Okay. Break it up there, but he thinks it goes the distance. How about the Holloway fight?
Yeah. Oh, man. I have to say, honestly, if you're a gambler, I would stay far away from this fight. Unless you think the odds are really, really great. It's one of those things where you said that Volkanovski, what, about the same dog as Peter Yan?
Same price. $2.20 in that range, yeah.
Right. See, for that price, I'm taking Holloway, right? If you want to throw some money on a side bet, I'd go with Holloway. Here's why I would stay away from this fight is both guys have really complained about camp. Now, we don't know how much is disinformation. Fighters are never honest about anything. But, you know, they talked about doing fights on Zoom, talking to their coaches online. Max Holloway said he didn't spar at all leading up to this fight. They were both in lockdown conditions. And also, Volkanovski has talked about wanting to go to war with Holloway and show this first fight, which I think is the dumbest thing he could possibly do, is go to war with Max Holloway, who wants a brawl. Mm-hmm. So all the variables are kind of all over. We don't know who's physically prepared. We don't know who got the camp they want, and we don't know who can go the distance in this fight. We don't know who has the timing. So it's just the X factors of training. I would say stay away from it. But if you want to jump on it at +172, I'd go with Max Holloway because it's really a toss-up fight.
Okay. All right. Follow the money, Paulie and Matt Humans, Jimmy Smith, our guest. Follow him on Twitter, Jimmy Smith, MMA, ESPN analyst. Anything that you're interested in on the undercard or maybe the Rose fight, anything else that you're looking forward to?
I like live dogs. And I mean, I don't think the dogs are going to win. I'm saying if you want to put some crazy money on Paige Van Zandt, it's like, what, -600? Something ridiculous.
+575. Van Zandt right now, you can get a +575.
Yeah. Yeah, well, almost. It's insane. The thing is that Amanda Ribas is the better fighter. Okay, one just better. But the Rachel Ostovich fight, she was getting beaten from pillar to post in that fight. Paige, Rachel Ostovich went for her back, couldn't hold it, and then Paige Van Zandt put together the fight-winning combination, just stayed on her and finished her. She still has veteran finishing instincts. She's also fighting for her free agency life. She's a free agent after this fight. She cannot afford to lose. She's basically fighting for her career. So if you want a live dog, hey, I'm going to throw some money at this just for the hell of it, $100. It would be Paige Van Zandt because look at those numbers. Paige Van Zandt's experience. She's fought some decent talent and she needs to win this fight. If you're looking for that, that dog you're going to throw some money at, might as well be Paige Van Zandt.
That's going to be a popular public dog. Yes. I actually like that a little bit too because I talked to somebody who said that should be more like +$3 or $350, not +$575.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I agree too. Okay. Rebus is the better, but also at 115, you don't see a lot of one-shot knockouts. You don't see a lot of, oh my God, this fighter got beat so bad in the first round that they can generally see long fights with more variables. So I think it's a good bet.
How about the first fight on the card on the Martin Day, Davy Grant fight? Martin Day about a $160, $170 favorite right in that neighborhood. Do you like Day in that fight?
I like Day in that fight.
Okay.
Well, the issue is it's about two guys who haven't had a lot of big fight experience. With all that, it's nerves. And I think one thing that's going to calm the nerves down is there's no crowd. You know, you don't get that big fight feel. They're leading off the card. I think after that, it comes down to not so much experience as tactics. I think tactically, Day lines up very, very well in that fight.
Nice work, Jimmy. Good to talk to you. And enjoy the card this weekend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
I will. Appreciate you guys.
All right.
All right.
Jimmy Smith, MMA on Twitter, an ESPN analyst, making the case for a lot of dogs on Saturday. 13 fights, UFC 251. And he also likes Day like Jordan Sherwood did on Thursday. That was interesting about Van Zandt. More in the three, should be in the 3-1 range.
Jordan Sherwood said he thought that line was out of whack as well.
Wow.
He said he couldn't understand why Rebus was such a big favorite. Paige Van Zandt, this could be your last fight in the UFC. Yeah. You know, look at that and say that's a square play. You would say that Masvidal is a square dog, that Van Zandt's a square dog, but hey.
He also liked Rose Jordan Sherwood.
I think both those would be competitive fights. So.
Okay.
He liked what?
Rose and under for the female fight. Nama Yunus and under. Boy, look at these names. I mean, Anik has really got his work cut out for him.
He gets paid well.
Ozdemir. I like Ozdemir.
About that sweetie head.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you have NBA players staying at the Motel 6.
How does Rondo complain about that? How do you do that? With everything going on, as soon as he gets in there, he can't wait to put it on social media and compare his accommodations to a Motel 6. Has Rondo ever stayed at a Motel 6?
Who knows? Maybe many years ago.
Why, I mean, he went to Kentucky. Why would he? Why, he's ever been to a Motel 6? Going to Kentucky and then in the
I knew NBA players were going to complain about the living.
Yeah.
You know who has the right to complain is a WNBA player.
Now, yes, they do.
They have bed bugs and mice and all sorts of things they have to deal
rats
with.
Rats running around.
Bradenton,
right.
Florida. I mean, the they WNBA. But that, talk about a debacle. It's a WNBA.
Right.
How many bets are you going to have on this UFC 251 card? I've got two right now.
I'd say four or five.
Okay.
I have a parlay I put in. I'm going to give out coming up. I already bet Ozdemir. And then I'm going to wait to what Matt Holt says, because Matt Holt's very good with the totals and the round props.
Right.
And I might take a flyer, put some pizza money at Circa on Volkanovski to win in the fifth round at 25-1 to finish Holloway in the fifth round. I love those index props.
Would you bet half unit on the fourth round and a half unit on the fifth round, 20-1 and 25-1?
Yeah. Because, I mean, this is much has been made of these leg kicks and these tree trunks that he's got and all the leg kicks in the first meeting. So if he can finish him and just say, you know, knock him out, take him out in the fourth or the fifth round, so be it. Let's assume everything's true, and that's a big if. But what was Zion Williamson thinking? That the family member takes $400,000. You don't think people? There's the Rondo tweet. Unbelievable. Yeah, Motel 6. Okay. Don't you think people are going to come back at you and say, hey, we had an agreement. You were supposed to sign with us, our agency.
Of course.
You think that would go sideways and people weren't going to get pissed about it? And you're taking $400,000 cash and all the other – I mean, what do you think was going to happen here?
I don't know. I don't know what those players or the families, what they're thinking. They just get greedy. They see dollar signs. They take the check, take the money.
Which is fine, but then sign –
about the repercussions.
Yeah, sign with that agency then. And they said they had a binding contract, rather, that this was once you left Duke and you were going to the NBA, you're going to be represented by us.
Well, hey, let's look at it this way, too. Zion was not headed to Duke, Paul. He was headed elsewhere.
Okay, yes.
And then magically, at the last minute, he changed his mind and went to Duke. What do you think changed his mind? You think Coach K's charisma?
Is that
personality? Is that what it is?
What's the biggest pay? You've covered college. What's the biggest pay you've ever heard about? $400,000 just for a family member.
Wow, Ricky Fowler just sank like a 30-foot eagle putt. Nice job,
dude,
Ricky.
We got some juice here.
All right.
Here we go.
The biggest payment I know of from a booster or a school to a player is about $180,000. I know of a few in the range of 150 to 180,000.
Can you see, what, Ayton?
Yeah, he's one. Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose, another. Wow. Rose.
How do you think Coach Cal got Derrick Rose?
He's going to Memphis. Yeah. Wow.
You know who else was trying to get Derrick Rose at the time? Rick Pitino.
Oh yeah, and he goes to Memphis. Okay. There was testing shenanigans.
Oh, there was
too.
A lot of stuff going on with the Derrick Rose recruitment.
Wow. Those are great stories.
I got stuff firsthand from other college coaches who were in on that recruitment who told me exactly what happened and how much money was involved, and that's all a true story. And that's, what's that, 2006?
Well, imagine what was going on back in the days with the SMU football and all. I mean, Dickerson got a brand new car and he didn't go to that U. Was it who gave it? Was it Texas gave him a new car and he didn't go there?
Right.
He goes, I'm not going there. And they still got the new car. Right. I mean, what was going on back then?
I just pulled up an article on some of the biggest payments. Okay. SMU, over 20 years, an estimated $25 million to the program from boosters. Over a 20-year span. It's number one on the list.
Pony Excess. What a 30 for 30 that was. God, was that well done. Love that.
Yeah, that was a really good 30 for 30.
Very good.
I haven't seen too many bad ones. I think the worst one I've seen was the Sammy and Mark McGuire. Summer of 90.
The Lance Armstrong wasn't very good. And it certainly shouldn't have been 4 hours.
I didn't watch that one.
I mean, that was, it started with a bang, but certainly was weak. Palm Reader's playbook coming up in pocket in 10 minutes. Good addition of win-lose as well. We'll get Jeff Siegel's picks for the weekend with the horses as well. And then Matthew Holt, number one, to get his UFC picks. And also as U.S. Integrity, his thoughts on what happened with MGM here with the Korean baseball pass posting. And New Jersey Gaming stepping in and saying no more with some of these guys with the table tennis. No more. Not allowed to accept it. Golf update and all that coming up. Win, lose, straight ahead. VSiN, Fall the Money, the Sports Betting Network. Getting juicy at the Workday Charity Open, as Wolf just puts it in a drink.
Matthew Wolf got wet.
Yeah.
Par three.
This is the 16th par three where Kokrak had the hole in one, if you can believe it. How the hell did he do that? Look at the pin placement. I mean, I know it was yesterday.
That's a tough par three, man.
Yeah. Morikawa, your leader at 8-under. It's a 2-shot lead over Neiman, who's on fire. And Charlie M. just said in play to bet Neiman. Neiman is 2 shots back. So is Putnam. Sloan, Hadwin tees off in a couple hours. Bradley is 5-under. And Fowler
get down there. Oh, fat Pat got lucky. Almost rolled down into the water. Got lucky.
Phil doing a good job. Phil off to a good start. I don't know. He'd be right in this if it wasn't for the back nine yesterday. 5-over on the back nine. He's 3-under for the day, back to 2-under for the tournament. So Phil trying to make a push. In pocket plays, Palm Reader playbook ready to go. He went 4-1 2 days ago and 2-1 yesterday. In pocket, getting ready. Time for win-lose.
Rough night.
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night. How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money Looks Back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
And here was the bad beat again that Mike Palm had to endure. Rio and it was this Portugal league under 2.5 goal in the 91st minute puts it over, and that was the beats he's taken in the 97th.
Is that his best bet?
It was a group five, and they scored late to get them 2-1. Everton Southampton over 2.5, 1-1 in the 43rd minute. No Ziti, that was the final score. 1-1. Win some. Man United, first team in EPL history to win 4 straight by 3+ goals, taking teams out in a body bag. Hole in one again, the prop cashes for the 4th time in the past 5 weeks. And for the 3rd time in the last 4 weeks, it happens on the first day. Lose some. Kepka 2-over. Rose 2-over. Watson and Damon 7-over. And Kokrak 2-over, even though he had the hole in one. How does that happen? Win some. Stratosphere. The north end of the strip. How about this? Not one, but 2 progressive the guy knocks out. He's playing blackjack, and he's playing the $5 and the dollar progressive. He gets 3 aces of the same suit. They're all diamonds.
Jeez.
So he wins $150,000. He gets both progressive. There it is. Good job. Excellent work, guys. You see the diamonds. I don't know if he's playing it's his hand and then the dealer's hand. And I don't know. Incredible that he gets that. And he gets the $109,000 $5 progressive side bet and the $39,000 progressive. Good for him. Come to Vegas. Wear a mask. Also, the dog videos that Paulie does Vegas on Instagram. Great stair technique on the big fella here. Coming running down the steps. Is he got the little shimmy going? Get out of my way. And in super slow-mo, with the giant leap for mankind, and then what happens at the end? The owner jumps on the grass, no problem. And then the puppy says, okay, I'll follow your lead, right? Little French bulldog, little guy.
Is this supposed to be the long jump?
Yeah, he lays it, and he couldn't stick to landing with the face plant as he goes ass over tea kettle, the little guy. That one is tough. That'll be up later. Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. This sent in from Mitch Moss on vacation.
By the way, a love struck Mitch Moss. Have you seen some of the photos he's been posting?
I can't do it. I mean, his wife is too much to take. I can't stand his wife. I mean, it's all about her.
They're all over each other like teenagers. It's like they're going to the prom.
Lorraine, no one cares. Okay. No one cares, Lorraine. Okay? Go away. The Andre the Giant. This is holding a 12-ounce beer can back in the day. I believe it's Molson. I mean, look at that. Oh, my God.
A Dixie cup in his hands.
Now, one tweet said he drank, 58 beers? In an 80-mile trip and didn't go to the bathroom, and we are been told that Andre the Giant once had, what's the record?
It was like 156,
156
in one
beers.
Sitting, or one night.
Well, that's two sips for him. I mean, look at that. Oh, it fits in his hand. It's no problem.
7'4", 500-plus pounds, Andre the Giant.
Yeah. Absolute lunacy. My God. And I had one lose some. Yep. Look at this now. Mike sent this in from Long Island. This is they actually had to put this up as a sign in a bathroom. Thank you for not washing your feet at the sink. And if you zoom in, this bozo is at the urinal with his barefoot. That's what we've become. Okay, no surprise. No surprise with the numbers. No surprise. Just sick. The disdain for my fellow human beings at an all-time high. What a travesty that actually has to be posted. Ah! As I got the bagel here, I'm eating breakfast, and I have to look at that. Good job, fellas. That's win-lose. What's going on with Phil?
Phil is on the green in three on a par five. That was a pretty poor chip by Phil.
All right, Palm Reader's playbook out. Our picks, UFC, golf, some parlays, and then deep dive with a lot of fights on the undercard. Matt Holt, who's terrific with the UFC, in 15 minutes coming up on Follow the Money. Feeling good. Fun show. Good action with the golf. Great guests. Good time. And we got some more news. David Purdom, Colorado, is now joined. New Jersey, suspending betting on Ukrainian table tennis.
How about every state just joined that? I really don't understand how there's any integrity in that sport whatsoever. I'm surprised it's been on the board at all.
Uh-huh. Also, lose.
Didn't you mention the website doesn't even post
nothing.
Results?
Yeah. No, we had Purdom on.
Yeah.
Nope. No results. No update on social media. Nothing. Websites. Nothing. I mean, it's ridiculous what's been going on here. Like the other thing, the governor yesterday announced starting tonight at midnight, the bars are shut down, rolling back to phase one. So how long is that going to go? I would say you said end of July. I told maybe August. Bars are going to be shut down.
I don't know how long you can keep bars closed in Nevada when you say other businesses can't. Health clubs can stay open. Casinos can stay open with bars. If you're a bar owner in Las Vegas in Nevada, how upset would you be that you're told you have to shut your business down, but all these other businesses can stay open?
And then he said we're going to closely monitor gyms and pools. That was the other one.
So why are gyms and pools allowed to stay open but bars have to close? It's just there are random decisions being made by politicians who really don't have a clue what they're doing.
I had the scoop yesterday, and I didn't even know it.
What's that?
Because I asked our buddy Bruno to come in Tuesday, who manager at a bar, and he didn't get back to me for the first time ever. He probably knew it was coming. Probably too depressed that he has to shut down again for the second time. All right, in pocket. With some of with our picks here, eclectic mix as always.
You gonna start this off?
Well, if it comes up, okay. Lean Huddersfield. This goes today in the championship. They're $1.25. They've had a clean sheet the last three, two draws and a win, and they're taking on Luton, who's at the bottom of the table and just dreadful. I think Huddersfield can, they've been playing well. I think they can win this 1 or 2-0. I would also take a look at under 2.5 goals. Real Madrid under 3 against Alaves, minus $1.30. And they are just, they are horrendous. They're in 17th place.
That's not a play, though. That's a lean.
That's a, what is it? They've lost 5 in a row, and they've scored 1 goal in the last 5. They failed to score in the first half, their last 11 on the road. So this could be 2-0 as well. Real Madrid gets the win, and they go home. Plays, Usman, Rose, Moneyline Parlay. Usman is down to 210 here at the South Point. Wow. Uzdemir, $1.70, I like. And then the Trout under 16.5 home runs at BetMGM. Those are my plays with a couple leans. And tough with the leans yesterday with both matches being a draw. No good.
I like that Trout prop, too, under 16.5 home runs. I also want to bet Trout no to win MVP. I'm still waiting to see a good number on that. As far as plays for the weekend, I got two I'm going to play in the UFC.
Paige Van Zandt.
I sent this in early in the show before we talked to John Anik and Jimmy Smith. I like Paige Van Zandt, just the value and the number here. Plus 575 in a fight that probably shouldn't be priced that high. Amanda Ribas overpriced is what I'm saying here. And Paige Van Zandt is kind of fighting for a UFC career. So this might be her last fight in the UFC. She could be a free agent. I think this is going to be a close competitive fight, and I like the plus 575. Martin Day, we talked about this fight with Jordan Sherwood, and Jimmy Smith both like it as well. I think the price is right. I found out the Westgate, Martin Day at minus 160 over Davy Grant. That's the first fight on the UFC 251 ESPN card on Saturday. So Martin Day minus 160, Paige Van Zandt plus 575. I'm probably going to add two or three bets to this by Saturday.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at the Usman Masvidal over, but I haven't played that yet. MLB season wins. I'm going Yankees under 37. I made this number 35.5, Paul. With the Yankees schedule, I don't think 38-22 is realistic for a 60-game schedule. No. I think this number is a little bit too high. I'm not crazy about the Yankees starting pitching. I think they get some question marks there. You get some guys with injury concerns. Aaron Judge supposedly is going to be okay. He's benefited from this long layoff, but I still think 38-22 is what's going to take to beat you on this bet. And I think that's asking too much from the Yankees in the first 60 games. Or a shortened 60-game season. I'm looking more at unders because I think more things can go wrong. You know, players could test positive. You could have injuries. You could have all sorts of things happen. I'm going to look more at unders on the baseball win totals. Yankees under 37. Nationals under 32.5. The National League East schedule is brutal. There are very few soft spots in that schedule. The Nationals have already lost Anthony Rendon to the Angels. I thought he was their MVP last season. I've lost a couple other players who opted to sit out this season, Zimmerman Ross. And they started 19-31 last year in 50 games. They might be slow starters. That might be their trend.
Very good.
Let's go under 32.5 on the Nationals. I've got 5 NFL plays pending from last month. Cardinals 49ers over 45. Buccaneers plus 6 at the Saints. Titans plus 3 at Denver.
I like that.
Tyrod Taylor to be the Chargers' Week 1 starter. This at DraftKings minus 335. And Mitch Trubisky to start for the Bears in Week 1 at 2-1 odds.
Palm Readers Unite. Mike Palm 6-2 the last 2 days. Although I don't agree with the 5 units and the Group 1, Group 2. That's a discussion for another time. But 2-1 yesterday, 4-1 the day before, and 2 vicious beats with these soccers. Right back to the soccer. The totals, you see, that's what the 2 winners and then the tough beat he took in that Portugal league. So here's his weekend card, and it's big. And he's loving this MLS. They're putting up 3s, and he's taking advantage. He's going San Jose, Seattle under tonight, under 3 in MLS. All 3 have been scoreless at halftime. Tottenham, Arsenal under 2.5. Nigel with a great point about the bet, will there be a penalty? And that pays well. Bournemouth, Leicester under. And then Group 2, he's got La Liga. That's today, I believe. Granada under 2.5. That might be the Portugal League again with that Lisbon. And then Atlanta under. Toronto, DC United under. Minnesota under, MLS under. Oh, I like his parlay.
The Undertaker.
He is. I like that parlay. Brentford and West Brom and the championship with the two-team parlay. I like that as well. Those are our picks. Now, Jeff Siegel, eighth race at Del Mar. He likes the 4, Sash. In the 10th race at Del Mar, he likes the 10, Castle Gate. You can bet these races at First Bet, a new betting and handicapping product from ExpressBet. Promo code VEGAS500 to get a $10 free bet. The 8th at Del Mar, the 4, and the 10th at Del Mar, he likes the 10, Jeff Siegel. And go get up there at First Bet. Matthew Holt, UFC. Top 3 picks next. Peace.
The debut of UFC's Fight Island is featured in the new issue of Point Spread Weekly, ready for download right now. Go to vsin.com if you want to find it. Lou Finocchiaro offers his opinions on 4 of the matchups, including the Usman Masvidal main event from Abu Dhabi. Plus, we cover NFL, NBA, MLB, horse racing, and a lot more. Sign up now to get all of vsin's content free until a major sport returns. vsin.com/subscribe. To sign up, vsin.com/subscribe. How about Matthew Holt to wrap up the week on UFC 250?
I could talk to this guy for an hour. Too bad he couldn't get up earlier. President of U.S. Integrity. First of all, Matthew is, and we'll get to UFC in a second. As president of Integrity, what'd you make of what happened at the MGM, and what's your stance on past posting?
And there's a reason that the regulators put the emphasis on the operators, that if you actually get past posted, it's actually a reg violation if you don't self-report it. And the reason they do that is they want the operators to stay laser focused on ensuring that they aren't past posted. And unfortunately for the MGM, sometimes when you're taking bets on sports in faraway lands, it's easy to get distracted, especially in a time where a pandemic and people are so thinly staffed. And obviously that was the case here.
How did 50 bets get through?
You know, that's an interesting point. But part of it, I think, has to do with the fact that they were placed at a kiosk. You know, they make the kiosk limits lower just so that in order so that the bets will almost automatically be accepted by the risk team. If you want to make a larger bet, you have to go to the window. So in this case, I think the bettors probably had a little intel on how risk management works at a casino because they were smart enough to place the bets at a kiosk.
How do you think that's going to be resolved, Matthew? What do you think is going to be the result in the ruling by the gaming, Nevada Gaming?
Look, I think, unfortunately, at the end of the day, as somebody who spent a decade behind the counter at one of the largest licensed sportsbook operations in the country, Cantor Gaming, and, you know, that company certainly had its share of regulatory issues as well.
Sure.
I think at the end of the day, MGM is going to have to pay up. It's their responsibility to ensure that they're not taking past posted events. And, you know, part of the risk of taking wagers on events in international places, especially smaller leagues, is that how do you get updated schedule information and time changes? And in this case, it looks like they may have dropped the ball. And my guess is that the Nevada, because at the end of the day, if you went to the bettors, if the Nevada Gaming Control Board enforcement agents went to the bettors, and the bettors simply say, hey, we didn't know the games had already started, how do you prove that they did? It's just too hard to prove that they did. And thus, at the end of the day, I think MGM's probably going to have to take this one on the chin.
Oh, excellent perspective. You know, the other thing, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you were featured. You had a quote in that David Portum article a while back on table tennis. You see Colorado and New Jersey saying no more Ukrainian tennis with some of these guys?
Well, we actually sent a report out to all of the regulators in states with regulated sports betting and all of our operator clients about a month ago, recommending that they consider suspending betting on table tennis because of the lack of available information. We talk about the KBO and how there were issues there. There wasn't enough information on governing bodies, who were the point of contacts there, the standard information that most regulators would require in order to accept wagers on a particular sport. We recommended then that they consider suspending. So we're hoping that our report, along with the recent issues that have come up, held some weight in their decision to suspend.
Matthew Hold, our guest, president of U.S. Integrity, VSiN, follow the money to the UFC 251 card. Let's start with the main event. And you like the over at plus money. Tell us why.
But this one's crazy to me. First of all, who wants to buck the over trend in main events and UFC fights since the pandemic started? Every single fight, regardless of the handicap, goes over, whether it's Tony Ferguson, Justin Gaethje, Glover Teixeira, Anthony Smith, Curtis Blaydes, Alexander Volkov, Dustin Poirier, and Dan Hooker in the last UFC main event. It's just a trend since the pandemic that every single UFC main event goes over. We're getting plus money here, and I don't know how somebody's handicap of this fight leads them to the under. I mean, Kamaru Usman has two knockout wins in his last 11 fights and one career submission. This is a guy who uses his athleticism, his stamina, and his size to ground and neutralize opponents, but two KOs last 11 fights. He has seven career KOs, and four of those came in his first four fights on the regional scene. On the other side, you have a guy in Jorge Masvidal who tends not to get finished. Jorge Masvidal, four of his last five losses are by split decision. You have to go back to 2008 versus Rodrigo Dam to find a fight in which Jorge Masvidal got knocked out. Let's take the submission out of the equation here. Kamaru Usman only has one of them. If Damian Maia, the greatest Brazilian jiu-jitsu specialist that maybe ever in the history of the UFC, couldn't submit Jorge Masvidal, then why do we think Kamaru Usman will? So if we take the submission out of the equation, Jorge Masvidal, who's fought a lot of big strikers, hasn't been knocked out since 2008. I don't see how anyone's handicap leads them to the under here. I get the whole idea of the weight cut, but the problem is the people that are saying, oh my God, it's such a short notice, he's taking it on such short notice, and it's such a hard weight cut. I don't think that they have any insight into what's been going on, because if you ask fighters like Dustin Poirier, who trains at the American Top Team Gym, or my friend Ryan Quinn, who trains at the American Top Team Gym with Jorge Masvidal, they've been saying that Jorge Masvidal has been in the gym nonstop training for Kamaru Usman. I mean, this fight was announced originally. Masvidal never stopped training for Usman, and cardio has never been a problem with Masvidal. So at the end of the day, we're getting plus money on something that seems like it should be the big favorite to happen here. I really like this one to go the distance.
All right, great breakdown. You've had a nice run on the show, especially fantastic with the round props. How about another round prop in the Uzemir fight? What you think of that one?
Yeah, I mean, again, we're just looking at pure numbers here. When you look at Prochaska, the European fighter here, who, look, to his credit, has fought a lot of fights in Ryzen. I know this is his UFC debut, but he's been in there with some MMA mainstreams like King Mo, CB Dalloway, Fabio Maldonado, Brandon Halsey. I mean, this guy's fought some tough guys, but nine of his last 11 fights have ended in the first round. 23 of his 26 wins come by knockout. He's been finished in all three of his losses, and both of his knockout losses come in round one. 80% of his fights end in round one, yet we're getting plus 130 and an extra 2.5 minutes in this fight. And on the other side, Volkan Oezdemir is a serious guy. He has wins over Yair Latifi, Alexander Rejcik, Ovince St. Peru, Misha Cirkunov. This is a guy who fought for the lightweight title against Daniel Cormier. All of his losses, Daniel Cormier, Dominic Reyes, Anthony Smith, are against some of the best fighters in the world. And in those losses, in three of his four losses, he was finished as well. So these are two guys that tend to finish or get finished. 80% of their fights end in the first round, yet we get under 1.5 plus 130. I think that's where the value lies here.
Yeah, very good. A plus 125, a plus 130. And how about a side on the prelims with the Dos Santos fight?
Yeah, I really like Dos Santos here. I think he's one of the more underrated fights in all of MMA. Find me a guy who's 8-2 in the UFC and less appreciated. Let's face it, the UFC doesn't have cupcakes. If you made it to the UFC, you're one of the better fighters in the world. And this guy has gone 8-2 in his last 10 fights inside the UFC and not really getting a lot of credit. And before that knockout loss, a loss that, you know, in a fight that he probably was winning against Jing-Lian Lee, he was on a 6-fight win streak inside the UFC, Zaleski Dos Santos. He's had some wins over Alexei Kunchenko, who is 20-0 entering 2019. Lyman Good, the former Bellator champion, Curtis Millender, Sean Strickland. I mean, this is a guy in Zaleski Dos Santos. I don't understand why he doesn't get the credit he deserves. And on the other side of it, we get a guy who's 36 years old, maybe on the wrong side of the mountain now in terms of hitting his peak, starting to be on the other side. Muslim Salikov, who has a really entertaining style, a fun nickname, the King of Kung Fu, tends to score a lot of knockouts himself or get knocked out. In this situation, though, I just think Zaleski Dos Santos has too much power, too much experience, and is really underrated considering his 8-2 record in the UFC. At plus money, Zaleski Dos Santos is one of my favorite plays on the card.
Excellent appearance.
Nice.
Phenomenal breakdown. Thanks for getting up early, and thanks for the perspective, too, on MGM.
Thanks, guys. Best of luck this weekend. Take care.
All right. Matthew Holt.
Zaleski Dos Santos, plus 115.
Yep, at right William Hill. Yep. The main event over plus 125 at Westgate. The Uzdemir fight under plus 125 at William Hill. And 135, I think he saw at other places, too. So and that's interesting, too, because he mentioned what happened at CG Technology. They had a rap sheet longer than Al Capone. I mean, the stuff they were getting caught for. Remember, there were wrong payouts on round robins and stuff and all that business. So he's saying with his expertise and background that MGM's going to have to pay with all these big parlays, and gaming's not going to cut him a break.
Yeah, Cantor Gaming issued some steep fines. By the way, Al Capone served time at Alcatraz, and he played in a band. When he was at Alcatraz, he played the banjo in a band. Do you know what the name of the band was?
No. No, what's happening?
This is true.
I don't doubt it.
In a band on Alcatraz.
Yeah, I think it's funny.
The name of it was the Rock Islanders. It's a great trivia question.
Thanks,
Matt Reynolds.
That is good. Yeah, no kidding. Who was his manager? Hey, you got the tweet from Matt? A viewer sent this in. Will you eat this? Will you try this?
What's that?
Pringles is coming out with the Baconator.
You know, I've been suckered into these flavored Pringles before, and I buy them, I try them, and they...
No good?
No good. So, no, I'm not going for this. I'm going to go for the real thing after the show today. I'll get the breakfast Baconator at Wendy's.
All right. Thanks to Brian Rogers. Does a great job. What do you think?
Did you try the Pringles?
I'm going to try it. I like Pringles. You got it?
Let us know next week how it turns out.
The Pringles from Wendy. We got Pringles. Wendy's Baconator Pringles.
All right, let me know what you think.
All right. And again, Jeff Siegel, the 8th race at Del Mar likes the 4 horse, and the 10th race at Del Mar likes the 10. Great guest, fun show. Back Monday. Have a good weekend.